Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Transfer Rumour Mill with me, Kieran Critchard. We've got a jam-packed hour for you as we build to that 5 o'clock deadline Thursday. 2 days, 2 hours, 57 minutes and 43 seconds to go in the window as things are hotting up. And it's just seemed like these last 2 days, everything has exploded into action. There's been so much talk of so many big deals this summer and not a lot have been delivered. But actually, over the last 48 hours, ever since Monday morning started, it's really kept going from here. We've got all the latest on the likes of Wayne Rooney, Joao Cancelo, Lauren Koscielny, Gary Cahill, Neil Morpay, Kemar Roofe, all to come in this hour. We'll be talking to Italian football expert Adam Digby about the latest coming in and out of Italy. Could Mario Mandzukic still be making that move to Manchester United? What effect could Mario Riccardi leaving Inter Milan have on the other striker moves? Will Romelu Lukaku end up in Italy? He's training with Anderlecht over in Belgium until his future is sorted. Daniele Rugani's future is up in the air. Could he be swapping Turin for North London and Arsenal? Joao Cancelo is on the verge of a move to Manchester City from Juventus, which will see Danilo moving the other way. What will Joao Cancelo bring to Manchester City in the competition he'll provide for Kyle Walker? Will he displace Kyle Walker in the Manchester City starting lineup this coming season? And also potentially any interest in Juventus for Christian Eriksen. As we understand in the last hour or so, Manchester United could be pursuing a deal for Eriksen. Now he's into the final 12 months of his contract. Will he end up staying at Tottenham or will he leave? It seems ever increasingly unlikely that Christian Eriksen will sign that new deal at Tottenham. And you'd imagine the savvy businessman that Daniel Levy is, that he will not allow him to run down that contract and leave on a free. So it seems likely that Eriksen will leave this summer. It's a case of, does he go to Manchester United, which I think Tottenham would probably prefer that he wouldn't do that. Or could he move to somewhere in Europe? Obviously, the European window is still open for a number of weeks yet, so there's still time for them to get some business done. Will we see him potentially move to Real Madrid or potentially Atletico Madrid or even to Juventus? They've been rumoured to be interested in him this summer. So we'll have to keep an eye out for that. But the breaking news this afternoon is that Manchester United are considering a late move for Tottenham midfielder Christian Eriksen. A former Manchester United player, Wayne Rooney, is seemingly on his way back from America over here to England. Now, obviously, he made the move from Everton over to DC United. And since his debut, he's had 35 goal involvements, 23 goals and 12 assists. Only Josef Martinez and Carlos Vela have had more goal involvements since his debut. Wayne Rooney's actually had as many as a former Manchester United player as well, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. But he seems like he's on his way back. He has flown into Heathrow this morning. He is at Derby County's training ground at this moment in time. Some people reporting maybe that the deal is already done. Now, this would see Wayne Rooney return as a player coach, and he would only join in January. So he'd play into the end of the MLS season, which ends October, November time. And then he will have a few months off, and then he will start officially at Derby in January. He says he's still got a few more years left in him on the field, but Mel Morris has been talking about how Wayne Rooney wants to accelerate the process of his coaching badges. He's been very vocal in his intention to go into management, and Derby have seen this as a great opportunity and have jumped on the opportunity. Now, some rumours that the likes of Burnley and West Brom might be trying to come in for Wayne Rooney at the last minute, but it does seem like Wayne Rooney is on his way to Derby. So Derby fans out there, any views on Wayne Rooney? Will he be a good signing? How much do you expect him to play for Derby? And when do you expect him to really go into management? If you want to get in touch with us, you can call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We're also on WhatsApp. So any questions, any views you have on Wayne Rooney potentially making that move to Derby, which is edging closer to completion, what sort of a role will he play for Derby, and how big a success and how big a statement, I suppose, is this from Derby County to lure one of the biggest names still in English football? So Wayne Rooney on his way to Derby County. Lauren Koscielny, it's been a dramatic end to his career at Arsenal. 9 years in North London, very, very well respected, very well loved by the Arsenal fans and the captain for many, many years. But he hit this summer really has been a bitter ending to his career at Arsenal. He has demanded that he be let go for free this summer. He refused to go on Arsenal's tour this summer in pre-season. And it has not been a nice way to end his career. He seemingly is on the verge of a move back to his homeland of France. The likes of Bordeaux and Rennes have been rumoured to be interested in him, and it seems like Bordeaux are the club that will be securing his signature. Arsenal have agreed a deal to sell him for about £4.6 million. Unai Emery had tried on numerous occasions to convince Koscielny to stay, but sources in France are suggesting that the 33-year-old is in Bordeaux and will have a medical at some point today. His first choice was to join Rennes, but unfortunately the two clubs couldn't agree a fee. Obviously Arsenal were after a fee, whereas Koscielny initially wanted to leave permanently. So wants to leave straight away with no fee. So it seems like Koscielny is on his way to France and to Bordeaux. And I think a lot of Arsenal fans would have lost a lot of respect for their captain, who is on his way out. Yesterday night, last night, Crystal Palace confirmed the signing of Gary Cahill on a free transfer. He left Chelsea after many, many years there and many Premier League titles. Left Chelsea at the end of last season, virtually was anonymous at Chelsea last season, out of the first team picture, left them in the summer. He's now signed for Crystal Palace. There were a number of clubs in for him. He was even interested in the likes of Fulham in January on loan, but didn't end up moving there. He has now joined Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park, £75,000 a week. It's been a very, very quiet and passive window for Crystal Palace, with just Stephen Henderson from Nottingham Forest and Jordan Ayew from Crystal Palace brought in. Only £2.5 million, all on Jordan Ayew, spent in the summer. They've sold Aaron Wan-Bissaka. There are still continuing rumours surrounding Wilfred Zaha. Will he make that move to Everton? A £100 million package is being prepared by the Merseysiders. Will they get that deal over the line? And things are concerning for Palace, and they haven't made that many signings. Gary Cahill, as I said, is just their third signing. They bring in some experience. They're plenty of Premier League experience with both Bolton and then obviously for a number of years with Chelsea, also Aston Villa in there as well. It's an experienced signing, but I don't think Crystal Palace fans will be particularly delighted with the developments they've had. But then over the last few years under both Sam Allardyce and Roy Hodgson, Crystal Palace have left it late a lot in the last few years and left a lot of signings until the last few days of the window. So I think you can expect quite a bit of business being done at Selhurst Park in the next few days as we build towards that deadline on Thursday. Brighton have a new striker in the form of the former Brentford player Neil Maupay, who scored 28 goals last season for Brentford. He's made the move to the South Coast under new head coach Graham Potter, who was at Swansea last season. And obviously it's a big blow for Brentford to lose him, but I think they were resigned to the fact that that might happen this summer. What will be intriguing this season is, does Neil Maupay come in as the number one now to replace Glenn Murray, who does have a decent Premier League goal scoring record over the last few years? Or will it be a case of him being slowly integrated into the team and gradually replace Glenn Murray? But Brighton are another side that are at serious risk this summer, and they need a good start, because we've seen plenty of times in Premier League history you get off to a slow start and there's a long way back from there, and then a huge amount of pressure. There are probably as many as 5-6 clubs that could face their journeys in the Premier League coming to an end, either abruptly for the newly promoted sides or after a number of years in there could be a number of sides at risk of falling down into the Championship in 2 seasons' time. Latest updates on a few other players. Bruno Fernandes, we've just had confirmation that Wayne Rooney is to join Derby as player coach in January on an initial 18-month contract that is with the option of a further year. So that breaking news is just confirmed in the last few moments, is Derby have officially announced that Wayne Rooney will be coming back to England in January. He will sign from DC United in January. He'll join as a player coach on an initial 18-month contract with a extra year option. That's the breaking news for you this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, give us your views on Wayne Rooney's signing, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We're also on WhatsApp. Make sure you get in touch with us. Bruno Fernandes, I was talking about, he's been linked with Manchester United all summer long. He's also been linked with Tottenham this summer, and the indication is Tottenham are still looking for signings. They've been interested in Ryan Sessegnon all summer. That deal's still not over the line, but I think they're optimistic that by Thursday, 5 o'clock, they will have Ryan Sessegnon. Josh Onuma might be going the other way to try and sweeten that deal. They're also looking at either Giovanni Lo Celso at Real Betis or Bruno Fernandes from Sporting all summer long, potentially as a replacement to Christian Eriksen. Now, I mentioned earlier that Manchester United are coming in for him, but there's also been interest around the continent that they're looking to potentially bring in a player if, in the eventuality, Eriksen does end up leaving Tottenham. Apparently, Tottenham have met with Bruno Fernandes' agent. They could have an agreement in there, but it all comes down to the price. And I think Sporting are willing to allow him to go, but only if they get quite a significant fee. They saw their other big Portuguese rival, Benfica, sell João Félix for over £100 million for Atletico Madrid. If Bruno Fernandes was sold for £40-50 million, it would be seen as a sign of weakness for Sporting. So they're trying to get as much money as possible out of that deal. Tottenham are trying to push for one of them. It would just be one rather than both. But time is running out, as we said. It's just 2 days, 2 hours and about 46 minutes until that window slams shut over here, obviously, around Europe. It closes in a number of weeks' time. But time is running out for the English clubs to get their business done. And we'll have all the latest over the next couple of days. Obviously, we've got the transfer rumour mill this show on until Thursday, and we will have all the updates here, and we'll continue to have updates throughout the afternoon, obviously on Posh Boys on Drive from 3 until 7 this afternoon. So we'll keep you up to date with all the latest transfer rumours. As we mentioned, the breaking news in the last few moments is that Derby have confirmed the signing of Wayne Rooney. Manchester City could be securing their next signature. João Cancelo has arrived in Manchester to undergo a medical, and Danilo and £27 million will head in the other direction to make sure that Cancelo can come in as backup or potentially as a number one ahead of Kyle Walker. Laurent Koscielny is on his way out of Arsenal. He's on his way to France. Gary Cahill has signed for Crystal Palace. We've got a really jam-packed show for you. As I said, after the break, we'll be talking to Italian football expert Adam Digby. We'll have Don Betts, Love Sport's very own, and Fulham fan in the studio to talk about all the latest championship rumours regarding Brentford, Middlesbrough, Kemar Roofe, Eddie Nketiah could be making the move, Ryan Kent as well. We'll have producer Laurie in the studio. We'll be assessing the business done by the clubs outside the top six. Could any of the likes of Leicester, Wolves, Everton, West Ham make their way into the top six in the coming season? And we'll also have our usual segment at the end. Dom will be back in to talk about the latest transfer rumours, the latest transfer gossip in the papers at the moment. Make sure you stay tuned here. As I said, if you want to get in touch with us, you can. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're also on WhatsApp, and you can call us on 0208 70 20 558. Make sure you share your views with us.
Love Sports.
Time to turn our attention to some Italian football. And obviously, there's been so many links between players in the Premier League and Serie A, and there have been plenty that have already arrived, plenty that could go both ways. I'm delighted to say that we are joined by Italian football expert Adam Digby. Good afternoon, Adam. It's good to speak to you. Let's start off with Romelu Lukaku, who's currently training with Anderlecht, a club that he's been at in the past. Obviously, this Dybala swap deal is seemingly completely over, but does it all hinge upon the future of Mauro Icardi?
I think Mauro Icardi is definitely surplus to requirements at Inter. Antonio Conte can't seem to get rid of him fast enough, but they don't seem to be anybody other than Napoli really interested in him. And Napoli are notoriously tight with their money, so I would imagine that that will go until the very end of the transfer window, which kind of leaves Lukaku in limbo because it's very difficult to see any quick end to that.
Romelu Lukaku obviously has made his intentions clear that he would like to go to Serie A. It'd be a dream to play there. What do Inter Milan need to do? Because seemingly they are struggling for cash. The FFP regulations state that they can't just go and splash the cash on Romelu Lukaku. What sort of ways, methods can Inter Milan kind of get around that to try and secure this deal?
Well, they've actually already offered Manchester United to take him on loan for this season and then pay the transfer fee that United are looking for next summer and the summer after in two instalments. But United don't seem very happy with that. I think they're looking, obviously, to get some funds in as well to fund the huge rebuild that they're undertaking. But it really has been a bit of an impasse. Inter seem unable or unwilling to budge on their position, and Manchester United being just as stubborn, and it's really hurting both teams at the moment, I think.
Obviously, the other man involved in that potential swap deal that is over is Paulo Dybala. Now, from all suggestions, Juventus wanted to offload him. Dybala said no. How do you see him settling back into life at Juventus, considering it was probably made quite clear that Juventus were pretty willing to let him leave?
He returned to training yesterday. There was a huge reception from supporters outside the training ground waiting for him. But it really does seem like Juventus just want him gone. He simply doesn't fit with Cristiano Ronaldo, and that's been really difficult on him. And it's difficult for the club too, because he's the third highest paid player in the team, and you can't really have that guy sat on the bench then. So they're wanting to move him on. But again, like with Icardi, that's difficult because the number of buyers are just not there. There has been talk this week of interest from PSG. So I guess we'll wait and see if that comes to fruition. But I think with Atletico Madrid having already spent their money, Barcelona the same, and then most of the clubs in England being happy with what they've done so far as well, it's very difficult to see a new home for Dybala in this transfer window.
The other club in Manchester are closing in on a deal for another Juventus player in the form of João Cancelo, who only a few years ago signed from Valencia. He will be coming to Manchester City in £27 million, and Danilo will be going the other way. Tell kind of our listeners what type of a player Manchester City will be getting in the form of João Cancelo.
A perfect fit for Pep Guardiola, and a thoroughly modern fullback who just does everything you need. Yeah, he's a little bit suspect defensively, but I think we've seen over the past 18 months or so that Guardiola's system kind of looks after itself in that way. They defend as a team, and it masks the individual fragility of any weaker defensive players. But going forward, Cancelo is incredible. He was probably Juve's second best player after Cristiano Ronaldo, and even outplayed Ronaldo in some games last season. He was thoroughly excellent, and from a Juventus perspective, it doesn't really make any sense to be selling him after just 1 year. And a year ago, Inter Milan had him on loan from Valencia. They had an option to make that deal permanent, and they didn't, and Juve bought him. And Juve fans rightly were laughing at Inter for the mess that they'd made of the deal, and then Juventus looked like they're going to turn around and do the same.
Well, that kind of creates the question that why do Juventus want to sell him? Because they're not getting a massive fee. They're getting a player that obviously Manchester City don't want really in Danilo, and only £27 million addition to that. You said how impressive he was for them. He's only been there a year. Why are Juventus so keen to move him on when really the only right-back option is Mattia De Ciglio, I'm guessing?
Yeah, it is. And to be honest, I really don't know. Emre Can could fill in a little bit at right back, but that's hardly ideal either. And to sell Cancelo, to bring in Danilo on more wages from the latest report, another €1.5 million per season, and he's older too. It just makes no sense to me. And it's much the same as when they were talking about swapping Dybala for Lukaku. I don't really see the logic in that either. I think that the wages Lukaku would be on, it's very, very similar to bringing in Danilo, who's an inferior player earning more money. And it really is nonsensical as far as I can see from the Juventus perspective. They're not making a massive profit on Cancelo selling him at that price at all. It's pretty much like for like, and then paying out more in wages to Danilo.
Another player that could be leaving Turin this summer could be Daniele Rugani. Arsenal supposedly interested in the centre-back, surplus to requirements there, the 25-year-old. How likely do you think it is that Rugani will move to Arsenal? I know that Wolves are supposedly interested in him as well. How likely do you think it is that Rugani will be making that move to the Premier League, and what type of a centre-back can we expect to see in the Premier League if he does make that move?
It does seem as if he will be leaving Juventus, and as you say, Wolves and Arsenal are the two clubs who are interested. So it seems quite likely that will happen before Friday, because he has found himself so far down the pecking order with Bonucci and Chiellini coming back from last season, Matthijs de Ligt obviously joining in that massive deal from Ajax, and then the Turkey international Demiral joining from Sassuolo, who was only there for 6 months and seems to have always been a Juve player. So he's probably the fifth choice centre-back in a team that are only going to play with two, and with Maurizio Sarri, who doesn't rotate very much. Rugani's been at Juve since 2015. He was probably the most promising young Italian centre-back at that time, but after a couple of seasons of that promise continuing, he really has plateaued over the past couple of years. And he looks like a player in desperate need of some new scenery. I think if he can find a new home and get regular football, then he might show the same promise he showed a few years ago. And he's kind of timid at the moment. He looks a little bit scared to make mistakes. But as I say, I think with the confidence of the new coach and a fresh environment, I think he could return to his best. And he's quite a good ball-playing centre-back. Very very good at reading the game. Good at anticipating what things are going to do against him. And he tends to make more interceptions and tackles because of that. But he's a solid player when he's at his best. It's just been a couple of years since he's seen that, unfortunately.
Well, it'll be interesting to see whether Rugani does make that move to the Premier League to either Arsenal or Wolves. Thank you very much for your time, Adam, this afternoon. That was Adam Digby, Italian football expert, giving us the latest on the likes of Mauro Riccardi, Joao Cancelo, Daniele Rugani as well. Obviously, Rugani is surplus to requirements. They've got Bonucci, Chiellini, De Ligt at centre-back. That one of, as Adam mentioned, at the age of 18, 19, was one of the biggest hopes in Italian football, could be making the move away. And Arsenal are supposedly interested in him alongside RB Leipzig centre-back Dayo Upamecano. And Wolves are supposedly interested. The Times reporting a £30 million bid may have been made for Daniele Rugani. Wolves have obviously also brought in Jesus Vallejo from Real Madrid on a season-long loan. They may be interested in a permanent deal for Daniele Rugani. And a big statement by Wolves. They're looking to really go forward again this season in the Europa League and also in the Premier League. And Rugani could be one of those men that could be coming in for Wolves, but they're sure to have competition from Arsenal this season. Giving you a couple of the other lines currently in the transfer window at the moment. As I mentioned, Manchester United have considered a late Eriksen move over these last few days. Will we see Eriksen make that move? I'm sure Tottenham fans would be absolutely devastated if they sell him to Manchester United. I think they'd rather him go abroad than go to Manchester United. So we'll give you the latest when we get any more updates on that. I'm delighted to say that the producer and also co-host on Drive, Guy Watts, is in the studio. Good afternoon, Guy.
Afternoon, Kieran.
What's coming up on Drive? We've obviously got 3 till 7, Posh Boys on Drive. What's coming up?
Yeah, loads coming up, Kieran. Obviously, the massive story this afternoon. It's got to be the biggest transfer involving the Championship ever, isn't it? The Wayne Rooney deal to Derby. I know he's not going to be there till January, but he signed an 18-month deal. We've had that confirmed in the last half hour. So absolutely massive news. And we've got some great guests coming up. First and foremost, Phil Brown, the former Derby County manager. Maybe best known or remembered for a stint at Hull. You know, you can't think of Phil Brown without the finger-wagging team talk on the pitch at halftime. But he did do other things as well, including manage Derby County. And of course, he's got a host of managerial experience, literally from Southend to India. We'll get his thoughts on this signing, of course, whether or not Philip Cocu was maybe a key part of it or was more of an accessory to, you know, was he involved in it from the start or was he not? And if he wasn't, is that a possible downside to this? Is this a potential kind of warning sign or alarm bell for Cocu, for Derby fans? As exciting as it is, could there be a downside of a little bit of unsettlement if Philip Cocu was, for example, happy with his squad? Is he going to like a big character or a big personality like Wayne Rooney coming in? Not upsetting things, but maybe having his own ideas about things, his own way of doing things. On the other hand, Rooney says he wants to become a manager. He wants to keep doing his badges. A great place to be doing it. Mel Morris, the Derby owner, has been speaking today. We'll hear what he had to say earlier on Drive as well, talking about how he thinks Derby can help, a bit like they did with Frank Lampard, help Wayne Rooney kind of on that path to becoming a manager as well. Martin Allen saying yesterday on Drive that he'd be very surprised if Wayne Rooney doesn't become a top level coach and manager at some point. We've got some other great guests as well. Spurs legend, Fulham legend as well, Alan Mullery. We'll get his thoughts primarily on this Eriksen potential transfer, because that's one that's probably alarming Spurs fans a little bit, of course. If he does go, they're looking at maybe at least one of Lo Celso or Bruno Fernandes as a replacement. But I think, you know, when you're losing a kind of guaranteed combined 20 goals and assists, if not more, from Christian Eriksen, it's a big gamble. How many goals Bruno Fernandes has scored in Portugal, however good, you know, the feats that these players have done in foreign leagues are, Christian Eriksen gives you a near guarantee. You know, he's done it for, what, 6 seasons in a row, maybe 7. It's quite remarkable. As a Man United fan, I'd be delighted to see Eriksen come in. I don't think it'd be the solution to all our problems, but it'd be a great boost with just 24 hours to go in the transfer window. Although I feel it's going to have to go down to the wire if it is going to happen.
Well, I was going to ask you, as a Manchester United fan, just finally, if Christian Eriksen does happen, which obviously is a big if, yeah, obviously that will be a summer of Daniel James, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Harry Maguire and Eriksen. How would you rate that? How excited would you be going into the season with those signings?
That would be our best summer transfer window just on paper, since I think it would be the summer of 2014 when we brought in Angel Di Maria, we brought in Falcao, brought in one or two other players who looked very exciting on paper. Turned out to be a terrible summer. They were all absolute flops, if your memory serves you at all well. This one I'd be much more optimistic about. They're both kind of a combination of big names, but also exciting talents for the future. Good characters as well. I think the three guys we've brought in so far, two youngsters with a real attitude that seems to fit in with the United culture, if you like, real appetite for success. Harry Maguire, a natural-born leader, if you like, and Christian Eriksen, look, yeah, if he leaves Spurs, I think he'll do so with goodwill from the fans. He's been, if not necessarily a model pro, he's been a very, very good pro for them. He's been consistent, and he doesn't seem like the sort to upset any apple carts either. We'll get Sammy McElroy, the former Man United midfielder's thoughts on that too. How good a signing would it be? Is that the priority? I guess that's the only question for United now. If Lukaku leaves, do we need another striker? And whether or not we sign Eriksen or another striker, do we actually need someone to shore up the midfield a little bit more? That's a debate we'll have. Luther Blissett, of course, Watford legend, England striker once upon a time, joining us as well. So a good show coming up.
Well, make sure you tune in to Drive. Thank you very much, Guy. Drive will be on from 3 until 7 in half an hour's time. So make sure you tune in for those 4 hours. Should be a terrific listen for your Tuesday afternoon as we build up to that deadline on Thursday. We'll continue after the break on the transfer room. We're talking about some of the championships and some of the moves in the championship. We'll also be looking at the business done by clubs just outside the top six and our usual segment of the transfer rumours with Dom Betts.
This is Love Sport.
Welcome back to the transfer rumour mill with me, Kieran Critchard. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by Love Sport's very own and part of the Fulhamish podcast, Dom Betts, is in the studio. We're going to go through some of the big championship rumours. It's only right that we also talk about the Championship. It's not all about the Premier League, although we are very excited ahead of that first game of the season in the Premier League on Friday night. The Championship and Football League got underway last weekend. Brentford, Dom, a lot was expected of them this season, but they've just lost one of their key players, Neil Maupay, who's gone to Brighton. Before we talk about who could potentially replace him, how significant a blow is it to what many people are expecting a good season for Brentford?
I think if you take a 15-20 goal a season striker out of any Championship side, they're going to struggle. A good striker in the Championship can get you 15 or 20 goals, or even 25 goals. You look at Tammy Abraham last season. It what separates you from being an 8th or 9th to possibly challenging for the playoffs or the top 2. A great goal scorer is vitally important because, yes, you need to have a strong defence like you do in any league. That's the way you're going to achieve success. But a strong goal scorer in the Championship can drag you all the way up. You look at Dwight Gayle at West Brom, Tammy Abraham at Aston Villa, when my team Fulham, when we had Mitrovic for the 6 months in the Championship last time. You think in the past, someone like Jordan Rhodes, Billy Sharp for Sheffield United. So it's so vitally important to have that striker who can get you the goals.
Well, I mean, the man that could be lined up to replace him is Charlton striker Lyle Taylor. He is 29, scored a lot of goals last season for Charlton. Do you think as a kind of, it would be quite a significant price underneath what they sold Maupay from, do you think that Taylor would be a good fit for Brentford?
Maybe. It's a weird one because it doesn't necessarily fit with their transfer model because he's 29, as you said. So, but I think, you know, yes, he hasn't played in the Championship before. He's been mainly bagging the goals in League One for AFC Wimbledon and Charlton over the last couple of seasons. And the fee, you know, 3.5 run to £5 million, for me, is a bargain. Because you talk about strikers. For me, if you're a striker, you know where the back of the net is. Like, the goal doesn't get any bigger or smaller. If you're a striker, for me, you should be able to put the ball in the back of the net, you know, no matter what division you're in. And I think it is a good signer for them because you look at so many players who've come through the Football League and are now, I'm not saying he's going to become a Premier League level striker, but I'm thinking the likes of Charlie Austin, I'm thinking Jamie Vardy, I'm thinking Glenn Murray. Right, these Ricky Lambert as well. These strikers were doing it in League One, scoring 20, 30 goals. Would you assume they'd be Premier League strikers in the future? Probably not. But for me, again, if you're a striker, you do know where the goal is. And I think Lyle Taylor, it may not be the name that a Brentford sort of fan would want, but I do think it would be a very, very shrewd signing, especially for the fee that's being reported.
Well, moving on to Leeds, who are a side that looked all set for promotion not that long ago and were missed out on it in the playoffs. It's been a mixed summer for them, hasn't it? Because they lost the likes of Pontus Janssen to Brentford. They've brought in Helder Costa on loan from Wolves. Jack Clark's has gone to Tottenham, but is back on loan. Jack Harrison's back on loan. But one big blow that is expected to go through in the next few days is that Kemar Roofe, one of their big-name strikers, one of their biggest goal scorers, is on the verge of a move to Belgium in the form of Anderlecht. Does it feel like Leeds are selling themselves a bit short going into the season? I know they've obviously won game in, but it feels like that they are a little bit short.
Yeah, it does. And listen, as I just mentioned, you need that goal scorer to push you up the table in the Championship. If they lose Kamar Roof, they may now only be able to get into that top six instead of aiming for that top two, which is what they really want after the playoff heartbreak of last season. So for me, it'll be a massive loss for Leeds. Yes, they looked really good in the weekend against Bristol City at Ashton Gate. But for me, if you're losing your main striker and they don't get anyone who, adequate enough in time to replace him, because, you know, there's only two days or so left of the transfer window for Championship clubs, as well as obviously Premier League teams, I just don't see them challenging for that top two because they're losing all the goals that Kamar Roof is going to bring you. But I think it'll be great for him to move to Anderlecht, work under Vincent Kompany, play in the top league in Belgium, and then you never know, you may end up moving back to the Premier League. It is a bit of a left field one, but I think it could work for Kamar Roof, and it is going to be a massive loss for Leeds just because you're going to be missing the goals from your main man up front.
Talking of potential replacements, I think that the leading front runner potentially to replace him, it wouldn't be a direct replacement, but Ryan Kent from Liverpool. Liverpool said he's not going to go on loan again. He was at Rangers last year. £7 to £10 million. It's either him, supposedly, or Eddie Nketiah from Arsenal on loan. If you were the Leeds manager, if you were Marcelo Bielsa, Dom, which one of those two would you go for? Would you go for the younger, more inexperienced option of Nketiah, who does play through the middle, or would you go with Ryan Kent, who's more experienced, slightly older, has played, for example, at Rangers last season, has played in the Championship before at Bristol City, but plays slightly in a different position out wide?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the better player at this moment is obviously Ryan Kent. I watched quite a bit of Rangers last season and Steven Gerrard's debut season, and they were very impressive. They closed that gap between them and Celtic very much, and obviously Steven Gerrard's contacts at Liverpool helped him a lot with the likes of Ryan Kent. But for me, I'd say he's a left winger for me. That's what I'd say Ryan Kent's best position is. And for me, that's not where Leeds need players. They've got Pablo Hernandez. They've got, obviously, Helder Costa now. I know I'm not saying they're both out and out left wingers, but for me, they need someone who's going to be able to do it through the middle and maybe a loan move for someone like Eddie Nketiah. But for me, if I'm Eddie Nketiah, why would I want to go out on loan to these teams? Because for me, if Aubameyang or Lacazette get injured, he's the only option to then come out and play through the middle. Yes, I know you could get Nicola Pepe, but I mean, I think you'd rather have him out wide. And so I think Eddie Nketiah's actually got a part to play at Arsenal, but if he is going to go to the Championship, I think if I was a Leeds fan, I'd rather go for Eddie Nketiah opposed to Ryan Kent just for the position he plays.
Well, thank you very much for that, Dom. We'll be back in the final segment to talk about the transfer rumours, our usual segment. Just a few other lines to bring you from the Championship. Arsenal's Carl Jenkinson could be making a loan move to Nottingham Forest. And also Reading are closing in on a £7 million deal with Sheffield Wednesday for forward Lucas Joao. So a couple of transfer rumours to be keeping your eye out for in the Championship, and we'll be making sure we keep in touch with the Championship as well as the Premier League and all the other big leagues in Europe up until that deadline for the British clubs on Thursday at 5 p.m. I'm glad to say that producer Laurie has joined me in the studio. We're going to go through some of the business done by the clubs outside the top six. Just a quick rundown of some of the big signings that have been made for them. Leicester signed Yuri Tiedemans and Iose Perez. Wolves, Patrick Cotrone, Jesus Vallejo. Everton, Moise Keane, Jean-Philippe Jubama, or Bama, as we've been told, from Mainz, and Fabian Delph as well, although Idrissa Gueye has left. West Ham have brought Sebastian Haller and Pablo Fornals in. On the face of that, then, of those signings, those teams, which team has done the best business?
I think best business this summer, you'd have to say Leicester, just because Tielemans was so sought after. It looked like he might have gone to Man United. I'm surprised Arsenal didn't challenge with a bid, especially how he performed in the Premier League second half of last season. He seems like a safe bet for the league. He's clearly such a young talent. Iose Perez, interestingly, obviously I'm a Newcastle fan. Not nice to see your top scorer go, but that's where you see the differing levels of ambition between our two clubs. But I also think in that Leicester side, he probably will score more goals than he did last season. So I think that was a great signing. And let's be honest, I don't know how much they needed to sign anyway, because Brendan Rodgers has shown that he's able to take a team and make them play in an attacking style that can really hurt teams.
Well, Leicester obviously have lost Harry Maguire in the last 24 hours. They've been rumoured to be interested in a few different players, James Tarkowski, Nathan Ake, but those deals are seeming going to be too expensive. They might go into the new season without replacing him. Do you think that's too big a risk to take when Leicester could potentially really push for a top seven spot?
I don't know if it is necessarily a massive risk. Johnny Evans has shown that he can be a good performer at centre-back. Obviously, Wesley Morgan has that pedigree. One thing I will say is Ake and Tarkowski as well are, you know, that is going to be an insane price to pay. If you're talking about $75 million for Nathan Ake, yes, he's going to be good. Yes, he might be partnering Virgil van Dijk for the national team. But $75 million is ridiculous. One other option that we heard actually earlier today from Ewan McTeer, Jenny de Konum for Getafe is being linked with Leicester at the minute. And he said that he's been the most consistent centre-back in La Liga over the last couple of seasons. And he's surprised that a bigger team haven't come in sooner. He would definitely be a cheaper option. And if they are looking to kind of patch up the hole without relying on a loan, then that might be a good option for them.
Well, Getafe looked set for that top four position to only miss out on the final day of the season. Looking at Everton's business, they've brought Moise Kean in, one of the highly rated young Italian players at just 19 from Juventus. Jean-Philippe Bamon from Mainz to replace Idrissa Gonaga. Fabian Delph is in. They have lost Idrissa Gonaga. How would you view their business? Because for a few years, lots of people in the media have said, oh, Everton could really push on this year, and it hasn't materialised like that. They're interested also in Monaco's Djibril Sidibe, the fullback. How do you anticipate Everton's season going with the business they've done, but also the players they've lost in the form of Idrissa Gonaga?
It's funny, isn't it? We were looking at that Everton squad before, and we were saying, is that a top seven, top eight squad? Because you could make the argument that yes, if those new signings really fire, it could be. And yes, if some of those players play to their full potential, it could be. But it just seems a little bit lacking somehow. It'll be interesting to see how Moise Kean and Richarlison in the same side play. That'll be interesting. I do think in centre mid, yes, they've lost Idrissa Gonaga. However, I think they've strengthened well with Bamon, and Fabian Delph actually I think is a really good signing for only $9 million. But I also think it shows how Everton have moved, that they're now talking about selling players like James McCarthy to Crystal Palace. And I think as much as they maybe can't quite bridge that gap to the top six or top Leicester and Wolves, say, I do think that they're clearly ahead of teams like Crystal Palace or Southampton, who you could really see being dragged back down into a potential relegation battle. So I think they're strong favourites for like 9th, 10th, whether you can see them going 7th or 8th. I think that really depends on young players firing. And let's see how Moise Kean does, the player who's never won a header in senior football.
Yeah, I was stunned by that statistic. 39 senior professional appearances and not won a header. Pretty poor stat. I don't think they'll be hoofing the ball down to him. They could be signing Wilfried Zaha in the final few days. That's certainly one to watch out for, although I'm bemused by that. Why would you move from an average club to another average club? It doesn't really make a lot of sense when he wants to play Champions League football. Just finally then, looking at West Ham, more so than Wolves, they brought Sebastian Haller, Pablo Fornals in. You look in attacking areas for West Ham. You've got Manuel Lanzini, Andrei Yarmolenko will be back fit, Felipe Anderson, who they brought in last year, had a good season. Pablo Fornals, who had a great European Championships for the under-21s for Spain. Haller comes with that £45 million figure. Could West Ham really push for that seventh spot?
Well, Haller comes and all of a sudden it doesn't seem like such bad news that Arnautovic has gone, especially, you know, how we don't know how disrupted he would have been in the dressing room, whether he would have been popular or not. But it does seem like you really want players who want to play for the club. One thing I would say about West Ham is we had this last season. Pellegrini came in, they bought Felipe Anderson. There was quite a lot of optimism. Even Jack Wilshere coming in, people thought maybe he can get over that injury finally and you know, have his break back season. He didn't. He might have it again this season. We'll probably have that debate until Jack Wilshere retires. But with West Ham, I always just find it difficult to think that they won't bottle it. Even when they're supposed to be billed as doing really well. As a caveat to that, Halle looks like an amazing signing. I'm surprised that West Ham managed to get him. And that shows another one of those German teams that just seem to, if they have a good season in the Bundesliga, you talk about Hoffenheim, you talk about Eintracht Frankfurt, you talk about Borussia Mönchengladbach a few seasons ago, they never managed to hold on to their players. Which is a shame, but I do think Halle's a great signing.
I'm sure Martin Bell will be delighted to hear that West Ham will continue to be a bottle job this season. Thank you for joining me, Laurie. That was producer Laurie going through some of the business done by the clubs outside the top six, because although obviously I support a club in the top six, it's not all about the top six. We do cover everyone else. We cover Premier League teams, we cover Championship sides. So you can't criticise us for not covering lots of different rumours as we build up to that deadline on 5 p.m. on Thursday. If you want to get in touch with us, any views, any questions you may have, get in touch with us, 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We're also on WhatsApp, so any questions you may have for us, get in touch. Remember that breaking news is that Wayne Rooney has signed that Derby player-coach deal. He'll join in January.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
I'm joined once again in the studio by Dom Betts. He will be going through our usual segment, which is the transfer rumours. I should insist on a jingle for us, Dom, but we haven't managed to achieve that.
There's only about 2 days left of the transfer window.
Yeah, well, everyone does, you read the BBC Sport gossip column. It continues all year round. We can continue gossips.
We'll delve into the European market till the end of August.
Exactly. There's no end to any rumours. Let's start off with a man's name I mentioned before the break, Wilfried Zaha, who earlier in the window, it seemed that Arsenal were the front runners for him. He wanted to sign for a Champions League club, which Arsenal can't even offer. So that was a little bit strange. And I think Palace's view is that if a top European side comes in for him, so long as they get a decent fee, they'd be willing to allow him to go. Everton are the most recent team to be interested in him. They're supposedly putting together a £100 million package to sign Wilfried Zaha, including Cenk Tosun and James McCarthy. To me, I cannot get why Wilfried Zaha would get to Everton. Can you explain, is there any view that this could be a good move for Zaha?
I mean, everyone can argue that Everton are looking, I don't know, promising in this transfer window. The likes of Moise Keane, if they bring in Wilfried Zaha, you know, Marcus Silva, you know, I think he's a very good manager. But how many times have we said this about an Everton side going into a season? That, oh, they've signed this player, they've signed that player, they look like they can finally break into the top six. Even when, you know, they were trying to break into the top four and they eventually did, but I think, was it when Liverpool won the Champions League but you finished outside the top four and then they somehow didn't end up getting into the group stage of the Champions League or whatever. So it's promising for Everton, but I just feel like we've said this way too many times about them. If any team's going to break into the top six for the season, for me it's going to be Leicester City. But we move back to the Wilfried Zaha deal and we think about James McCarthy and Cenk Tosun. Yes, I think Cenk Tosun would be a good transfer because Palace do need that centre-forward, but with James McCarthy, do Palace really need another bone-average centre midfielder? They seem to be collating them over when we look over the years. So it depends what the upfront fee is alongside this, because for me, those players aren't worth more than £30, £35 million together.
Well, just a bit of breaking news to bring you in the last few minutes. Arsenal have confirmed that captain Laurent Koscielny has left the club and has joined Ligue 1 side Bordeaux. So that saga is well and truly over. I think Arsenal fans have lost a lot of respect for the way he has behaved this summer, and I think they will be not too unhappy to be saying goodbye to him. Let's move on to a player that has become a forgotten player in English football, and that is Danny Drinkwater, who obviously won the title with Leicester, earned a big money move, £35-40 million to Chelsea. At the time, we thought that was a remarkable fee. Hasn't played a lot last season, was nowhere to be seen. Supposedly new boys Norwich interested in him. Do you think there's a risk that even though a few years ago he was playing well for Leicester and earned a call up into the England setup, that just the simple fact that he hasn't played pretty much any Premier League football for a couple of years, would it be a sensible signing for Norwich?
I think if you're looking at someone who's going to bring Premier League experience to that squad, you would see it as a sensible signing, Danny Drinkwater. But it doesn't really seem to align with sort of Norwich's model. I hate using the word model or philosophy, identity, whatever, but it doesn't seem to align with what the rest are trying to do. If you look at obviously Farke bringing lots of Patrick Roberts, for example, that doesn't quite match up with bringing in someone like Danny Drinkwater, except for the fact they're both English. Like, there's no other similarities there. So maybe to bring some Premier League experience to that squad, because maybe that is what they need. And, you know, I think Norwich fans will say it to themselves that they staying up would be a bonus this season. They just want to make sure if they go down with a fight. I don't think loads of Norwich fans will be expecting to stay in the division this season. But I don't know. It depends what the deal is. You know, is it a loan deal? Is it a transfer permanent deal? I don't understand this link. I'd expecting someone like Danny Drinkwater to be joining someone more like more Sheffield United than Norwich, if that makes sense. I feel like that would be suiting more than what the transfer business they've done as opposed to Norwich. I think it just doesn't quite align with the rest of the business that the Canaries have done this summer.
One transfer story that is breaking kind of as we go on this afternoon is a player that's been rumoured with a move away from North London, Christian Eriksen, into the final 12 months of his contract. And this afternoon, we believe that Manchester United are considering a late bid to come in for him. Do you think, actually, if if kind of this does develop into something bigger, that Manchester United have played a blinder here by leaving until quite close to the end of the window, seemingly going under the radar and forcing Tottenham into a big decision here. Either you sell him now for 50 to 60 million pounds, or you risk him leaving on a free next summer. Do you think United have played an absolute blinder here?
They've done well, but what they're also doing is they're also harming their opposition here, because one, they're getting a great player if they get a deal of the line in Christian Eriksen. One, it doesn't really give Spurs the time to get any other players in unless they get in someone like Giovanni Lo Celso. And, you know, that, as I said, they're harming one of their rivals, their direct rivals, because Man United's aim will be seen to a minimum be finishing in the top four, and I think the same will be said for Spurs. So it'll be a great move, but then you look at the way they line up. You expect if they signed Eriksen, they'd move to more of a 4-2-3-1 than a 4-3-3. And, you know, Eriksen in behind, I'd expect Marcus Rashford. And then you have the likes of Martial out wide with, I don't know, Pogba, McTominay deep. But then that then put so much emphasis on Scott McTominay being so disciplined, Michael Carrick-esque, in that position. Because if you've got Pogba and Eriksen ahead of you, I mean,
they're not going to be tracking back.
Not going to be tracking back, exactly. So it'll be a great side of Manchester United. I think it might finally, you know, people might be seeing this as serious top four contenders. But you've got to worry for Spurs if this happens, because if this deal goes really late and they don't, because I can't see Levy buying Giovanni Lo Celso and waiting for the money to come in for Christian Eriksen. I think he's surely going to be waiting for the money to come in from Eriksen to then buy Giovanni Lo Celso. But yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how this one develops.
And another transfer story that was breaking overnight into today is that Harry Wilson, the Liverpool winger, is on his way down to the South Coast to have a medical at Bournemouth this afternoon. He spent last season on loan at Derby, scoring 18 goals in all competitions. It is not with an obligation to buy, no option to buy. I think the view from Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp is that he still sees him as a potential part of the future, that getting him another season of experience in the Premier League under a good young manager like Eddie Howe, who likes playing young players. Do you think this is a sensible move from Liverpool's part to send him out on loan to kind of test him in the Premier League before they're making a final decision probably in 12 months' time?
Yeah, I think it's a sensible move for both clubs, really. I think, you know, he's going to... I think we saw at Derby last season, he doesn't mess about. He's a very direct attacking winger, and I think that's something that Bournemouth sometimes need, because sometimes I feel like they've got the ball in the midfield out wide and they don't quite get it to the forward line as quick as they can, but Harry Wilson could definitely offer that to them. And then again, he's moving to a team who's not going to be struggling, I'd say, in the Premier League. Bournemouth will be comfortably mid-table, if not pushing for that top 10, possibly top 8. So for me, it's a very sensible move, because you don't want him going to a team, I don't know, like a Palace or a Newcastle or a Brighton, for a team you're not 100% sure whether they're going to be safe in the Premier League. You know, they're still up in the air there. So I think moving to a team like Bournemouth, where you'd assume they would be safe in the Premier League and more looking up than looking down, would be a very good move for both parties here.
Well, he'll be surrounded by some good forward players, the likes of Ryan Fraser, Callum Wilson, Josh King. So there are some good players there. And also, you can't forget this, that Liverpool sending him on loan, therefore ineligible to play against Liverpool, but obviously eligible to play against all the other top six sides, so could hurt them. Thank you very much for your time, Dom. That was Dom Betts, Love Sport's very own, giving us our transfer rumour segment at the end of the hour. The hour has flown by yet again. We've come towards the end of the show. The breaking news this afternoon is that Wayne Rooney is back in England. He signed a Derby player-coach deal from January on an 18-month deal with an option of a further year.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.